Well, you see, Willard, in this war, things get confused out there. Every man has got a breaking point. You and I have them. Walt Kurtz has reached his. And very obviously, he has gone insane.
Pam, you ever had a $93 cup of coffee? $93 for a cup of coffee. I had that the other day. I went to go to Starbucks over here by my work. Marina Del Rey, corner of Lincoln Boulevard and, what is that, Maxella? And because it's at a very busy intersection and parking is scarce, I usually jump in and park. It's a tight little area. It's very frantic. A lot of high-stakes traffic going on there. So I usually park in the red zone, but near the corner, you know, where the curb's painted red out here. That means you can't park there. I found out that out the hard way the first week I moved here. I just parked, and I came out and had a fucking, like, $65 ticket. I was like, cool, welcome to California. And then instantly that line in Reservoir Dogs made sense when he's about to torture the cop. And he's like, you know, so I'm gonna think I parked in the red zone. I was like, oh, that's what that's from. Yeah, that was a nice little how do you do. So I park at this thing every day for months because I go in, I get a venti black coffee. You know, sometimes I get a little something else. I'll get a breakfast sandwich. Sometimes I'll get one of those little yogurt things they got, the parfait. It's pretty good. I feel like kind of an international traveler or something. Because parfait, it's French. Sounds exotic. It's good for breakfast. Perps you up. Pecks you up, you know. I just made up two words, perps and pecks. I don't even know what that was supposed to mean. I stumbled on the words, but you know what I'm saying. I like, you know, blueberry, strawberry. Most of the time, just a tall black coffee. It's all I get. Usually all I get. I'm usually in and out. So I park in a little red zone. And I never see any parking authority around, honestly. But I guess I didn't check close enough this day because I was in and out. Sometimes there's a long line. Most of the time, it's not. It's not too bad in that one, but I was in, you're in, you're out, hello, goodbye. Another fucking jagoff walking out with a black cup of coffee. I come out, and who do I see? This big, fat black gentleman writing a ticket. I'm like, son of a fuck, come on, Andy. I can't get a ticket for getting a coffee. I'm like, no. He's like, oh, it's all right, man. Oh, that's my, isn't that the best thing? Isn't that your favorite thing to hear? I already started writing it, did you? How about you stop writing it? What if I pulled out a fucking bazooka and pointed it at your face? Would you stop writing it? I think you would. But I'm just like, fuck. I'm like, oh, I was in number two. He's like, oh man, sorry. And I was like, god damn. I go, how much is this gonna be? He's like, $93. I'm like, 93 fucking what? He's like, yeah. I was like, fuck. I guess I haven't had one in a long time. I'm like, dude, I think the last time I got a parking ticket was like $65. Like, oh man, yeah, they went up since then. I'm like, yeah, it did. Isn't that wonderful? Well, thank you. Thanks for stealing $100 out of my paycheck this week. Look, he's just doing his job. I know it's a scummy job, but probably nobody wants to do it. Maybe he goes out and feeds his kids with the money that he makes giving people tickets. Well, fine. I try not to take it personally. What'd you say, what's that full line of the Godfather? God damn it. Tom, this is business, and he's taking it very personal. I can remember Tom Hanks' name. I couldn't remember his fucking name! Why does this sound so weird? It sounds so blown out in my headphones. I don't have the. Oh, this sounds funky to me. I hope it comes out okay. So yeah, that sucked. I'm holding it down at my work, because my coworker's on vacation. 2 fucking weeks this guy takes off. I mean, he basically runs the place. My boss is very. Oh my god, this guy. He's very, very meticulous. He's very fussy. He gets angry very easily. He just came in and fucking had a fit because he for a guy that's so meticulous and fastidious, he doesn't give you a lot of information a lot. And then if you ask him for details, he gets all annoyed. I'm like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do? He is the quintessential, and this is a habit that beleaguers many camera people, that your number one job description is to be a mind reader. You're just supposed to just know what they want, and I don't know if they come up having really good assistants and they're just used to it all the time and want this in everything in life. But if you didn't know what they wanted magically, they get all bent out of shape. I'm just like, what the fuck? But it's coming to an end now. The guy comes back. The guy who really runs it and takes the brunt of all the shit comes in next week, which I can't wait because I don't want to be the fucking... I got pretty lucky because it was pretty quiet. And for one of the entire weeks, my boss was out of town. So it hasn't been too bad, but he just comes in and just flips out sometimes. I'm like, it's like someone professional. It's like, why would you flip out over that? Like, is it really worth getting upset and fucking getting your employees all frantic and pissed off and fucking bizarre? It's very strange. But the downside of this is, now, before I go into this, God forbid you ever hear this, because I love this guy. I really do. I love British Martin, the other guy that I work with. He's really ensconced himself in many of my... there's characters based on him in skits, and I used his Mangria, motherfucker. I used his voice in the Mangria spec that I made for Adam Carolla. FunnierDie.com/weirdfellas. Check out Mangria. Actually, I don't know if it's on there anymore, because FunnierDie is pulling some shit where you can only have like 8 videos or something. And I gotta go. When I just did a Google search on my phone, only like 8 or 9 videos popped up. I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway, that's one of my favorite things we've ever shot. That Mangria spec is great. But Martin was the voice. So Martin's an older gentleman. He's probably in his 50s. And he's a single guy. And he's had a lot of years in this business. He used to be a locations manager, which is just a miserable fucking job in Hollywood. It's just... oh, I tell you, it's rough. It's rough. It's like, you know, a lot of people screaming at you and just usually dealing with the worst of the worst people in production who are just irrational and want things that aren't possible. But, you know, they don't want to hear that because it's Hollywood and you're supposed to just fucking be able to pull things off. How am I going to go home here? What should I do? I was going to take the fucking Link into the tent. So he's world worried. Martin's kind of had it. But on the other side of things, he's like a little too cranky, and he complains too. Like, he doesn't want to be bothered like to do anything. And then he kind of has he's not like a dick or anything, but he's just, you hate asking him for stuff because all he does is bitch and go on a tirade. But he doesn't really do a whole hell of a lot. It's like, dude, whatever. But he works upstairs, and my desk is downstairs. And boy, does he like to come down and talk. Holy shit! And now it's getting to the point where it's probably once an hour. And all this guy does, he huffs and puffs constantly, like he just got off a fucking, like a 1930s chain gang, and they're like, all right, lunch, and everybody sits down and has a sandwich. He's always just like, oh, God. I must hear that 500 times a day, upstairs, echoing out of his office, coming down the stairs. I hear his fucking British feet lumbering down the steps, and then he gets to the bottom of the stairs, and then he comes in and he just makes this, like, half of the time it doesn't make any sense. It's just getting, I hate when people do shit like this. It's like, he's just bored and wants just to hear himself talk. And he'll make chit-chats that's so bizarre sometimes where it's like, did you even think about what you just asked me? Like, would you really care if I even gave you an answer to what you just said? Like, why are you doing this, sir? It's really starting to fucking drive me batty. I can't fucking take it. And his topics of conversation usually are complaining about my boss to one of the other bosses, asking me about working out because he still like is active and like will like work out, runs in the beach and shit. Asking me about working out and girls on Tinder. He's on Tinder. He's like, oh, I met this girl on Tinder last night, dude. Oh, she's a fucking weirdo. You ever see the girls with the big? But it's like, it wouldn't be so bad if he asked about the. But it's almost a daily conversation where it's like, oh, here we go, I'm talking about fucking Tinder. And I'm like trying to write. I'm really working hard at work. I'm working on a screenplay. It's like, don't bother me while I'm having fun, please. But like, really, I'm trying to like this guy trying to make a fucking a left from not in the left turn lanes. You fucking dope. What the fuck do you think they painted those lines in there for, you jerk off? Anyway, I'm just trying to write or do shit. And he just fucking won't stop talking. He'll just sit on the couch next to me and just be like, I'm gonna walk out tonight. You gonna walk out? I'm like, yep. We're doing an oi. Yeah, I'll probably do chest and shoulders, which I am. I'm actually on my way to the gym and do chest and shoulders. I did running. My fucking knees are starting to bother me. Knees are fucked up. The knees have a body. I'm like, nope, they never bother me. Like, exterior scene, Ford walks into the bar. It's just like, I'm starting to fucking write. Leave me the fuck alone. He drives us fucking crazy. He's like hanging out with your grandfather in a fucking in a nursing home. He's just like, I don't want to hear your stories. I'm telling you, I really like the man, but he's fucking, Jesus Christ, he's getting my fucking nerves. But I don't think he listens. I hope not. It's just a fucking, it's a personality quirk. Personality. I mean, I can get a personality. Okay, I'm gonna run through all this shit. I didn't have a whole hell of a lot happen. I remember last, I was in a really, I mean, I know you guys never hear this. This is something new on the podcast, but God, man, was I in the fucking dump. Just a real bad. I know I talk about it all the time, but I was just in a goddamn dump last week. I did nothing. I didn't work out, and I was just fucking, I was having a fucking meltdown, dude. I'm like, I want to fucking leave LA. Fuck this place. Like, I'm just a fucking head out my life. I had like a complete meltdown. I kind of came out. I'm telling you, I'm either bipolar or I'm fucking clinically depressed. I got to go get checked out because something, it gets fucking crazy. And then I waste a week or I waste however many days when I get these fucking things where I'm just like fucking dead to the world. It's fucking nuts. I hate it. I don't want, you know, it's a waste of time. But anyways, my buddy Arj, now he figured in the Buffalo episode, Arj is a large man. He likes to drink heavy, usually when he goes out. And half the reason is he owns a restaurant. He runs a restaurant and works like crazy, like fucking 90-hour weeks and shit. Works like a madman. But so when he gets a chance to go on vacation, which he rarely does, he goes fucking balls. He's a drinker and he's an angry, I think on the inside he's an angry man. And this is where it comes out, okay, when he drinks that fucking devil juice. But he brought his wife, who he met in a foreign land. And we had a much more subdued version of RJ because his wife ain't the most social gal. And she kind of keeps to herself and she's kind of quiet. And I don't, to be quite frank, I don't think she particularly enjoys the company of other human beings, but whatever. So me and Bucks go to... That's all, you know, that's all I got to say about that. But it was definitely, it was an RJ on 7, not an RJ on 11, that's for sure. I mean, no police were involved or the military or anything, so. But we got to go pick him up from the airport. So I wanted to, I was just going to stay on that side of town because I work right by the airport. And on a fucking, it was a Friday night. So to drive all the way home and all the way back, not only waste almost a fucking half tank of gas in one day, it's a shit ton of sitting in traffic. So I'm like, I'm just going to stay over here. And on this side of town, I'll pick him up because he lands at 9. And then he's like, no, now my plane lands at 10:30. I'm like, well, fucking shit. And I needed like a shower. And I think we were supposed to go out right after as soon as he landed. So I ended up going all the fucking way home. And then Bokes comes with me. And I go home for like 2-3 hours or whatever. And I drive all the way back. And we got off at Century Boulevard off the 405. And it fucking took... Like, it was some of the worst, I put it, my, well, 10 years at this place. I'd have to put up my top 20 of the worst traffic I've ever fucking seen. And it was like surface street traffic. It's only from the freeway entrance to the fucking airport is like 3 miles. It's like 3 fucking miles down Manchester Boulevard. Or down Century, I'm sorry. Dude, we were not moving. It would take, like these fucking lights would turn 2 and 3 times and we wouldn't get to them. We're like, what the fuck? I still don't know what the hell was going on. I don't know why the fuck it was so insanely fucking backed up. It was fucking retarded. I swear to RJ, he's a fucking traffic magnet. I don't know what it is. We and him get together out here. And it's like every fucking car in the goddamn 20-mile radius just like comes flying in. It's like a fuck. Like a Magneto from X-Men. He had an extra power. He could attract metal and manipulate metal objects to do his bidding. And one time he took a big giant long railroad tie and he molded it into a circle and fucked it until he fucking shot jizz all over the place. I got cut from that issue, but old Stan really wanted it in there. But that's what I was like. We couldn't move. So we pick him up. You get in the actual... I don't know if it's always been this bad. I never noticed. But actual LAX now, I don't know what is going on, but it's just you can't even fucking move in there. It is so... jam-packed. Like, that airport needs to be, like, twice the fucking size it is to even come close to, like, reasonably, comfortably accommodating the whole city. It's a fucking complete war zone in there. We're like, oh, my gosh. It takes us, like, 10 fucking minutes to get just to his goddamn terminal. Go, you fucking dope. There you go. Shit brain. Just to make a U-turn, really, cunt. So we pick him up, and we get back, and then I'm like, oh, it's not going to be that bad going the other way down Century. It was worse going back from the airport on the fucking freeway. I've never seen anything like it. I was like, I've never seen this fucking traffic this bad. I've never had airport traffic that bad ever. And then like, there was whatever. It was horrible. So we go to the Rainbow Room over there in Sunset. If you don't know Rainbow Room, it's a legendary old rock bar from L.A. One of the last standing vestiges of old school Sunset, rocker Sunset, when Sunset mattered and was a fucking like kind of a cultural, and that's not epicenter, but you know, it was one of the fucking places to, you know, you had Sunset Strip, you had fucking Haight-Ashbury, and you had what, Times Square. It's like, that's like the top fucking three or whatever. But you know, not anymore. Now it's just fucking, I don't know what it is. It's just dead. It's just a bunch of fucking like techno nightclubs. There's a couple and I don't know, drugstores and it's a mess. There's nothing there. It sucks. There's no fucking life there anymore. But Rainbow, yeah, old, you can still smoke in there. It's crazy. It's like Dean Del Rey always says, the last two dangerous places on the Sunset are the Comedy Store and the Rainbow Room. And they're both from the same area. They're both about the only places left where like shit will go down. You know what I mean? I haven't been there in a long time. And it's just like, we went there and I really feels like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it feels like Lemmy was like the heart and soul. He practically lived in that place. He lived upstairs from the fucking place for a while. And he was always in that bar. I hadn't seen him in a long time because he'd been sick. But like, it was just when we first started going, 2007, 2008. Like, he was never not in there. Always saw fucking Lemmy from Motorhead. And like, he was like the life and soul of the place. And like, it just feels like that now that he died, it's like he took the fucking soul out. I give that place 5 more years. You don't even see fucking Ron Jeremy hanging out there anymore. Just the fucking vibe in there. It stinks. There's no rock scene. You can't have a rock bar with no fucking rock scene. So we're just sitting there and I'm just like, this fucking blows. I don't want to be this fucking service is horrendous. You can't get them to come over and fucking get drinks. But I'm like really old. I loved that for a good couple years. Like, we lived in that fucking place. We were there at least on the weekends, if not a couple weeknights too. And shit, it was fun, but that we all like each other like, this place stinks. Like, fuck it. What are we doing? So, yeah. Next day, he's going to... Hang on. Take a fucking drink. Next day, we're going to go to Venice Beach. All right. I can't stand Venice Beach. I hate fucking going there. It's impossible to find parking. It's just the same. It was fun until I kind of worked. And I worked really close over there to the Venice Boardwalk. And, like, it's just homeless people and fucking freaks. And I'm like, I see this so much. To drive across town just to see it is fucking torture for me. It's torture. They're torturing me. But, like, you know, it's buddies around town. So what are you going to do? I suck it up. And, motherfucker, the traffic. It's Saturday afternoon at 12. You used to be... I'm sorry, this is the Luke Complains About LA episode. You used to be able to count on weekends to have... The freeways used to be pretty much wide open. Like, now they're not. Just fucking forget it. It was as bad as going to work. It took us a fucking hour to get to goddamn Venice Beach on Saturday afternoon. At fucking noon on a Saturday. And I'm just getting so... You know what's weird? Like... Okay, I chose to move here, and I have to, because of my circumstances, I have to sit. I'm a fucking road warrior. I sit in traffic. That's what I do. But for some reason, it's like, it's so embarrassing to me when someone else is here from out of town, and I get stuck. I don't know why. I get so, like, I'm, like, mortified to be stuck in traffic with, like, visitors. I'm literally apologizing for sitting. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. This is terrible. I don't know. It gets me so fucking, any other time, like, it's mildly annoying, but if someone else is in the car, it really fucking bothers me. It was driving me fucking nuts, and I'm, yeah, it sucked. The fucking ride there was terrible. And we go, and like, I don't know, we were walking up and down, and then he wanted to go on like, they have like a freak show there now, like a legit freak show. I don't care for that kind of shit. I don't need to see people sticking swords in their face and like lighting their balls on fire and all this kind of weird shit. It skeeves me out. I don't like, I was like really uncomfortable. It was fucking hot as hell. They had like two fans blowing. I mean, the actual devices, not two people that were enamored with the show, sucking their cocks. See what I did there? No, but, yeah, I'm like, let's get out of here. This stinks. They had, like, fucking two-headed toads and, like, a you know, fucking dog with three dicks and all this kind of weird shit. I'm like, I don't fucking need this business. So, the plan after that was, go to Old Scott. Now, this is a shocker because I know we really changed it up this weekend. The plan was to go over to Scott's and just get pissed drunk. It was hot as fuck. It was like 95. It was over 100. It was like 102 or something. And just sit in his pool and drink, which we did. And man, it was the warmest his pool water has ever been. It's usually kind of chilly, but this was fucking ridiculous, and I couldn't get out. And we spent the whole fucking day. I can't believe, dude, we got there. Well, we got to like 4 or 5, but we were there. We got cigars. I mean, all fucking night. I think I left at 2 in the morning, and I was fucking about blackout drunk. I like all day. I paced him out. Like, I don't go bug guzzle boo. You pour a glass. What the fuck was that? Jesus, somebody's horny. You know, and you sip on it. I know I don't go and fucking. It's gotta last. I'm not gonna go and fucking chug on it. But by the end of the night, and this happens more and more. It just seems like at the end of the night, after a day of drinking, I guess I get so used to sipping on it that I forget how much more and faster I'm drinking it. And like fucking, was I in rough shape. I drove home. I shouldn't drove home. It's pretty bad. And it pretty much just destroyed my entire Sunday. I was fucked. I got out of bed and I just felt like I fell off a mountain. I was like, oh, that was a bad one. So Sunday night, we're supposed to have our Ghosts and Shit screening at 7:30 at Santa Monica. Again, got to drive from my fucking, I probably put fucking 400 miles on my car this week. I'm not kidding. I had to drive all the way back over to Santa Monica to watch this. And like, it was looking good because it was a Sunday night at 7:30. Looking good. And I thought, I'm like, oh, it's Sunday, man. Everyone's going to be able to go. And then, like, one by one, most people had said they were going to go dropped off. But, like, once I got there and saw the place, I didn't give a shit. I was like, I am so glad no one came because this is fucking miserable. Like, 7 people showed up. They sent me an email saying they liked it so much, they're going to show it out of competition just as, like, sort of like a bonus. They're going to show it just, like, just extra by itself just for the shit of it because they liked it. And it was the finals for all. Remember, I think a few episodes ago we went to have a screening there, but it was a bringer show. So our even though we destroyed the fucking place and had the most laughs, ours didn't win this contest because we didn't have enough people there to fucking vote for our own video. Just fucking so. What a dumb way to do it. But I'm like, cool, I'll screen it again. So it did so good last time. I'm like, I'm gonna go fucking see that thing kill again. So that's a great feeling. And no one was there. There was like 8 fucking people. And I was like, if I have a really bad hangover, I can't even like put a sentence together. My fucking brain is so scrambled. I can't think. I can't do anything. I like really fucking, really throws a monkey wrench in the old, I mean, not that I have much going on up there anyways, but boy, does it grind that old fucking thought factory to a halt. And I just can't, I'm just like so out of it. I can't fucking concentrate. I can't, like, people are talking to me. I was like, what? There's like words going one ear and just like, disappear like fucking when you shake an Etch-a-Sketch inside my brain. So like I really kind of didn't want to go, and I was really getting into fucking True Detective. I watched like 3 fucking hours of it. I still don't know if I like that show. I don't know. I'm working on it. I kind of got its hooks in me in like the 3rd episode, but it's no matter what. I mean, I think I only got 2 or 3 left. I'm still not gonna love it. I'm on season 1 with the McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson talks like he has a perpetual dip in his mouth. Like, he's always got chewing tobacco down in his cheek. I noticed that about him. But, yeah, I was a mess. I didn't want to go. I mean, a couple people showed up. Tree Man and his wife came, and Big Trav that worked on it. Travis from Alaska. And, Mac, who's in it. And, I just felt so bad because, like, Trav wanted to get a beer and shit after, and I was so fucking just wrecked. I'm like, I can't even, like, dude, I can't even, like, have a conversation. I'm such a fucking mess. I'm going home. I felt bad. But I wanted to hang. I would have. If it was a normal night, I absolutely would have. But what a fucking turd, right? So, what's that? Wait, am I missing anything? Oh, we're getting ready to fucking, so we're going to leave. This is, I'm telling you, like, the city is just, it's like I'm in that trash compactor from Star Wars, and I'm shoving everything I can to keep those fucking walls from just crushing me, but it's just like, it's, this fucking, the city is just fucking, I don't know how much longer I could do this, man. I don't know. There's so much fucking pressure. Like, it's just so, it just never stops. The traffic and the noise and the people and the fucking just, everything. It's fucking, it's killing me. That's what I was, I don't know. It just all caught up to me last week, and I was a fucking funk. But I'm trying to get out of this. It's so the fucking thing ends at 9:30. Santa Monica, now it's like a sort of a chilly, Sunday was like kind of overcast or whatever. It wasn't particularly warm. And it's like 9 o'clock, and the fucking, I'm like, oh, no one's going to be around Santa Monica. And I'm parked right by 3rd Street. I go, and you could not get out of this parking garage. I was on the 7th fucking floor, and I'm trying to get out, and like, I moved probably 20 yards in about 15 minutes. I'm like, it is going to take a fucking hour to get out. It just, I don't know what was going on, because people got to pay at the gate on the way out. And there, I mean, the entire place was emptying at once. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, this could be a fucking hour before I get out of here. So I fucking parked my car, and I walked down to across the promenade, all the way down to the end, and went and saw Cafe Society, the Woody Allen movie, at like 9 o'clock. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go watch a movie, because I'm not going to sit in this bullshit. And Cafe Society, it's one of those, like I said, this year is just a terminal cancer patient. Let's just fucking pull the plug already, but, I mean, movie-wise. But it's just one of those, whatever, Woody Allen movies are just kind of, doesn't leave you, goes nowhere, nothing particularly profound. And he has Jesse Eisenberg. I mean, is there a least likable, harder to watch actor than Jesse Eisenberg? He's just so fucking wormy, and just, he's just not a likable guy. Like, I'll put up with him, but to make him star of the movie, he's just such a fucking douche. I don't know what it is about him. He's just very, he's just like that the nervous, awkward kind of like socially off-putting Jew guy. Just in everything. He's just fucking hateable. Hang on, he's drinking. Oh, it's wrong. It's a fucking water. Hey, you fucking froze out dry, isn't it? You fucking coat it with some fucking H2O, you cunt. Fucking goggle that fucking water. Like it's fucking cum.
The fuck's up with fucking weirdo.
So yeah, that was, but then I came out and, again, this is Sunday. I'm all fucked up. When I'm hungover, I'm really prone to anxiety and shit like that. If I'm really bad hungover and I have a coffee, I can't fucking leave my closet. It makes me crazy. I didn't have coffee, but, now it's like 11:30 and I come out of the movie and I'm parked at one end of the 3rd Street Promenade, and I'd walk, it's probably about a good quarter of a mile almost. And, it's like 3 or 4 blocks. Big blocks. I get out at 11:30, and it's just fucking, it's packed. On a Sunday night, I don't know what is going on, but it's fucking mobbed down there in that 3rd Street. I'm like, shit. And I'm walking. I don't know why, but I was having such fucking bad, anxiety. But I gotta get out of here. I wanted to like run. I didn't know what to do. I was getting like fucking dizzy and shit. I was fucking losing it. But, it was so bad, I had to cut off and get out of the main drag there and just walk on like a side street to an alley. I'm like, there's just too many fucking people around. It was fucking weird, you know? Some weird shit. So, and then I woke up Monday and I'm like, you know what? It's been a long time coming, but I might get ready to roll your eyes, but like, I might just quit drinking, just period. I don't know. I think it's been brewing. The day is coming, if not soon, but I'm just so, it takes, you know, you just, do you really even have to weigh the pluses and minuses of it? It's just like, it's just taking too much out of me the older I get. And it's just, I can't do it anymore. Just physically, it's just too fucking hard. I don't know how Keith Richards fucking did it or does it. Christ's sakes. I saw my fucking Keith Richards. Yeah, I guess he'd do a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's Wednesday. And I last drank with Saturday night. But it just, we've already gone out every fucking night this week. And I just got, like, fucking ginger ales. Or, like,
get him a cranberry juice.
I get a cranberry juice. And a rocks glass. And it feels like you're drinking. And you know what? You know what's weird? It's almost like I can compare it to this. You ever have to take you're driving home, and you get, like, a fucking diarrhea attack. You're like, oh, my, holy, just out of nowhere. Like, you could tell it's just going to be, like, chocolate milk coming out of your fucking bunghole. And you're like, I fucking gotta get home. I got about a 20-minute window to get home. This kind of shit. No pun intended. And you get, and then, I don't know now, I don't know if you have this, but I do. it'll hit me, and I'll be able to rein in. I'm like, all right, I got to shit. We got to hurry up. And it's almost like my it's like your sphincter, your asshole makes a deal with you. You're like, okay, I understand you got to get home. But the minute you get within range, I can only hold this. It's like he's holding it together like that scene in Captain America 3 when the helicopter's trying to fly away and he's hanging onto the building and hanging onto the helicopter. That's how hard, like, your colon is working to keep the shit inside you. But it's like, it can only hold that chopper for so long. So, like, the minute you're parked and within 15 yards of your bathroom, it's like fucking enemies at the gate. It is ready to come pouring out like the goddamn Coolie Dam just broke. And double entendre there, Coolie. Grand Coolie. I guess that's if you got a big ass. All right, we got it. But you're like, oh, and you run in your apartment. You don't take your fucking shoes off. You don't even take your fucking shoes off, dog. You run in the fucking apartment, you rip your fucking pants off. You sit in the fucking toilet, you shit all over the fucking place. It just fucking kabloom. It just comes out. Refugees fucking over the border, like the Berlin Wall came down. It's like, where was I going with this? How was it starting? I was comparing it to something. Drinking. Hang on. This is like having a brain sneeze. I'm like... hang on. What was I fucking... Okay, wait. Bear with me while I work this out. I was talking about not drinking, going out. Why did I make this shit comparison? Wait. Fuck, I hate when this happens. I'm in like a mental rat maze, and I went down the wrong corridor, and I cannot find my fucking way back, and it's getting dark. Shit. All right, I'll come back to it if I can remember. Oh, this is going to piss me off if I go back and listen to it. I hate when that happens. Fuck, that's a bad one. Why did I make that comparison? What was it about? Hang on. It's like taking the shit. What did that have to do with drinking? Or going out? Oh. Son of a bitch, there was a... I had a reason. It was a decent analogy. All right, well. Anyways. Not drinking. Okay. I got it. It's like in the same way my brain tricks itself with the doo-doo. When I go out and don't drink, I have like three times the energy because my somewhere in the recesses of my awful fucking rotting subconscious, it's like, well, we're out, we're at a bar, and just because we're not drinking, we're going to have like more fun, be more outgoing, so it's not a waste of time. And I have like way more energy, and I'm like way more like happy to be out and more like excited. It's weird. It's like a fucking, it's like a weird side effect of it. And I'm like, I can go out and not drink. This is fun. This is fine. I hardly spend any money. And I could stay up later because that fucking booze knocks me the fuck out. I have 2-3 drinks. It's funny because, like, if you go back and listen to my dumb Looking at Radio, the other podcast I was doing, like, I mean, we've been doing that for years. We did it for years. You know, it started back in fucking, what, 2012 or something? Like, you've heard exactly what I just said this cycle probably 4 fucking times. Like, every fucking once in a while, I'm like, I'm tired of it, man. And I can go, I say exactly what I just said, minus the doo-doo analogy. That was a new twist on it, but just funny, I guess. I don't know. So, like, I don't know where it'll go. The only thing I can even, like, just even think about going on drink, I'm just like, yeah, I don't need it. I could just maybe have, like, a margarita over at that Young Mexicali or something with some fucking, you know, some Mexican food. That, you know, so we'll see how it goes. I'm just, don't have me sign the devil's contract in my blood, but, let's see how it goes, just not drinking. Fuck it, you know? Enough of this nonsense. I'm gonna fucking do it. That's all I need is a fucking... I'm getting out of fucking debt. I'm talking about a fucking dog dying! All I need now is like a fucking DWI. I mean, that was... I should not have drove. That was really bad. That was fucking really stupid of me. I should just fucking... Scotty told me, he's like, crash here, and I'm like, I'm fine. But I was not in my right mind. I shouldn't have went. But yeah, it's just by the grace of God that I've never gotten pulled over. I mean, if I ever got pulled over, I would have been fucked. I mean, I would have been... I don't even know how much over to... All right, look, we got it. Fucking... You know, a lot of benefits to stopping drinking. So, good. We got it. Move the fuck on. I will. Stop yelling at me. We wanted to go out. So, this is a bit back, I think, what, Tuesday night? We wanted to take Arge and Mrs. Arge. They wanted to go out. We were telling them about this bar. Well, dude, I've known about it. I never got to go because on the weekends, it is packed. There's like a line down the fucking street for this place. It's this bar, it's this hipster bar over in, it's in Hollywood over by the Fonda Theater, around Hollywood Boulevard there. And It looks like, the whole place looks like somebody's living room inside. And when you walk, you go in, you go in, do this like thing, and then you, it's like a little like tunnel. It looks like you're going through someone's garage. And then it's like a fridge, like you walk in like an old school fridge. The door opens and you, and the entrance is like built through like a refrigerator. It's kind of cool. So, yeah, it is fucking insanely dark. It's one of the darkest, which I like. I like when they, that LA, that's one of my favorite going out LA shit is it's dark as fuck everywhere. You can't see nothing. This place is, dude, it was really fucking dark. You couldn't see shit. And, it's like a, yeah, it's like a big like living room thing. And then there's a little bar in the back. And then there's, I mean, it's a good-sized place. It's like a giant, it's like a 70s themed, like a 70s house. And then in the back, there's a big open patio with another bar. It kind of looks like someone's yard. And we go, and like, the median age of this place must have been 23. And like, we're all like, it's just, the, you forget, like, I don't feel old, but then you remember your age when you get in these kind of situations. And it's just full of just the douchiest, fakest, I'm wearing a metal t-shirt, but I've never heard of this fucking band in my life, people. It's either, everyone's got these, like, this new thing to do is, like, you go out with, like, shitty pants on, and you get, like, a Kiss I'm not kidding, and this is so fucking ridiculous. You take, like, a Kiss t-shirt that's, like, two sizes too big, and you rip it down the middle so the fucking, the V goes all down your belly button, and the shirt hangs down to your knees, and you have a beard, and you wear, like, a Carly Simon floppy hat. I'm like, what the that was, like, the look. It was either that or, like, or they were dressed like the people in my parents' yearbooks. They had, like, tight, like, pants on with, like, flower print. This is, like, this flower thing is in. It's, like, weird, like, ugly-ass. It looks like the fucking early 70s. I don't know what the deal is. I guess everyone just agreed on this. Had some kind of secret meeting I don't know about. And they wear, like, flower fucking printed shirts. And just dressed like fucking hippies. I'm like, what the fuck? The whole place. But, there's, it would have been kind of cool, but, like, and this is not, I know, hey, man, if you're too loud, you're too old, man. I just did the metal horns, and I licked my finger in between them. It was so fucking loud. They were playing all old 70s music, which, like, you know, fine. And just, like, just weird. It sounded like a giant Quentin Tarantino soundtrack. That's what I'll say. I didn't recognize a lot of the song, most of the songs. Scotty would have loved it. And there's just people dancing everywhere, just, like, white people, like, dopey, like, 70s shit. Just, like, looks like groove dancing to, like pop rock of the 70s. And the fucking DJ, it was so loud, you couldn't hear a goddamn thing. If you were right next to each other, and it's if this is a fucking Tuesday night, you know? And I'm like, why the fuck is it so loud? Why the fuck would you have it this loud? I understand it's a club, and you don't want to... You don't want someone just walking around holding their iPhone in the fucking air playing the music, but like, holy shit, man, this is, it's like, I've been to fucking Who concerts, it wasn't as loud in the fucking stadium. I didn't literally, I'm trying to make the fucking comparison. But, after like an hour, just say. So, Arjun and his chick went to go get like a taco, they serve like, there's a little kitchen thing in there, and they went to go get a taco. So, we're just waiting for him. And, it was me, Bogues, and his chick. And at one point, like, just the three of us just like looked around the whole back, like, courtyard thing where all these douches, just all these fucking youngsters that are way more hip than us for hanging out with their stupid clothes and are like trying to be somebody but trying to make it look, not look like they're trying to be somebody. And we just looked around, just looked at like, the same look of disgust on our face. What the fuck are we doing here? Like, we're like just fucking too old for this shit. Which I like going out. I would love to go like a dumb nightclub. It's like, music. Like, I just like doing that once in a while just because it's funny. Just to remind, just to remind myself that I hate it. I don't know, but fucking just made our skin crawl. Like, let's get the fuck out of here. So we left. We went to that fucking. Oh yeah, place is called Good Times. The good time. And then instead we went to the Idle Hour over there. It looks like a big giant. That's two fucking weird theme bars. It looks like a big giant beer keg that like an old wooden whiskey barrel tipped on its side that you walk in. It's kind of cool. I like that place. I like the Idle Hour. But, and then Wednesday night, last night, we went to the, Comedy Store, because Arj had never been there, so he wanted to catch a show. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. I was pretty bummed. I was hoping he could see me, because, you know, he saw me in the stupid video I made, which brought my star meter way down with Tom Sizemore. It's called Fake Dog Shit. Didn't really want to do it. Thought maybe it would take off. Didn't. Writing sucked. Whole thing was pretty stupid. Kind of wasting my time. Whatever. Gave it a shot. So, he wasn't there. And then, like, I don't know what happened from booking the fucking tickets to when we got there. Like, the lineup, like, completely changed. Like, when I booked it in the afternoon, it had Brody Stevens on it and David Spade and Argus Hamilton. And not one of them were on it. They got switched out with, like, other people. A lot of girls on there. A lot of girls. Let me complain about female comics for a minute, everybody. I know a couple. I know. Sorry. I'm so tired of having to put any kind of caveat. It's just women. They're just not funny. Men are way funnier than women. Yes, there's a handful of funny women. In general, they're not. They're not. And, like, Elijah Schlesinger comes on. She's a big comic, right? She sounds exactly... They're all, like, 15 to 20-minute sets there, right? They just crank out fucking comics. And, her set sounded like this podcast. She tells a story this loudly, this excitedly, and just she doesn't stop. She doesn't stop talking for too much. I went to Vegas and we met these fucking guys, right? And these guys want to hang out. And like this guy's trying to fuck me. He wants to take me to pool cabana. He's like, you want to fuck him? I'm like, yeah, sure. It was like 20 minutes of this, but like none of it was funny. There was like once or twice where I was like, okay, that was like decent. She sounded like there's an expression like funny. What I like Jay Moore sarcastically. Because he thinks his wife is so goddamn funny, he sarcastically put out a fucking special called Funny for a Girl because his wife wrote it. But it's like, that's a thing. I guess she's funny for a girl, but she wasn't funny. It was just like, you look around and it's mostly just, I love doing it. I love looking around. It's mostly just women laughing because they're the only ones that find them. And women come and tend to work so much harder. Yeah, because they lost half the audience because no one else gives a shit what they're talking about except for other clams. As Bill Burr would tell me. Fucking so degrading. Calls women a clam. Love this. But I'm just like, and it's like, it's all just like, it's all just like flash and bang. Razzle dazzle. It's all just flash and bang. There's no real substance. And people just like, they go out like they just want to be entertained. I guess it's like entertaining. She's not just standing there droning on. It's a very excitement-filled performance. It gets your attention, but it's not. If you really break down what she's saying, it's like, this is fucking, this sucks. Like, this isn't even funny. And then, so she, and I'm just like, this fucking woman makes like millions of dollars for this. What the fuck, you know? And then that fucking Ali Wong comes. Is it Ali Wong? Am I thinking of the chick from Resident Evil 2? I think it's Ali Wong. She just put out a special called Baby Cobra. And all I fucking hear is like, Ali Wong's new special is amazing. It is brilliant. Is she so funny? Yeah, I bet she is. So she gets on. Now I have no preconceived notions. I saw her once in Comedy Living Room like 2 years ago, and she was cute. I'm like, God, fuck her. It's funny. As soon as she admits that she's married in her fucking in her set, I'm immediately like less attracted. I'm just three quarters kidding there, but. So she comes down and like she has, this is like her character right now, is this super put upon mom because she just had, it's everything she's on, every podcast of mine that she fucking invades that I don't want to listen, it's all about her goddamn baby and kids and woman stuff, kids, babies, babies, kids, babies, and pregnancy babies. And so this character is, she's like, you guys, I just want to come here to get away from my baby. She's fucking driving me nuts. This was her whole set for 20 fucking minutes was about her fucking baby and what a fucking chore it was. I mean, for 5-7 minutes of it, okay, but the entire fucking thing was about her goddamn baby. I'm like, do you have any fucking thing else, woman, to talk about but your fucking progeny that no one gives a shit about? It wasn't funny. It was just like performance-y stuff. She's like, and the baby cry, and I'm like, what do I do? The baby's crying. This is fucking crazy, guys. And it was like, the women are all laughing her ass. I'm like, she didn't say any. There was no fucking joke there. She's making like barely humorous observations about things in her fucking life. Oh God, it stunk. And okay, now conversely, I'll say, fucking. Then Joe Rogan gets up. Joe Rogan fucking he sucks. He really stinks. He's not a good comic. He's boring. And look, there was a lot of really uncomfortable. He'd go into some bit. It would barely. It would be like a three minute long bit, and it would come to the punchline. And it would like he'd have maybe half the room laughing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Joe. He sucks, man. I feel bad. He's a nice guy. He's a nice dude and shit. Like I don't like dislike the guy. I don't like hate his guts or something. But like. He's not a funny guy. He has an entertaining presentation on stage, and he can sell a stage show, but like his observation just, they're so like boring, and they're just like way overthought. I don't know. He fucking drives me crazy. Now it gets to the point where he comes up and I groan. But the best was Anthony Jeselnik. I love that guy. I love him. I love that douchey character that he fucking. I love how he breaks the fourth wall and like, talks about his own jokes. Like, that was a good joke. I love that. I fucking love that like cocky dickhead that he is. Fucking A, he makes me laugh. But that Comedy Store, they make it as hard as possible. It's not like a nice, welcoming atmosphere. They're like hard chairs. They're so crammed together. It's like trying to get, like, I was so crammed in the corner, like trying to get up. I had to step over like 7 people. And there's like air conditioning just blasting out of like an open vent. I was fucking freezing, man. Like my skin was like fucking ice cold to the touch. I felt like a fucking corpse in a goddamn river in fucking Wisconsin. I was like, holy shit, I need like a sweater. And it's like summertime out. And like, it's not comfortable. It's such a fucking cattle drive. It's like, get the fucking, sit in your goddamn seat and laugh and buy our fucking drinks and get out of here, you fucks. Like, that's just like the fuck. I mean, like, for better or for worse, I guess in a way I kind of admire that. How much they don't give a fuck about your comfort or service or making you happy whatsoever as a fucking customer. Like, how bad they are doing drinks, whatever. But, I think that's all I had to say about that place. It actually wasn't bad. It was perfect time because I think they dropped checks there around 11. Which is, like, just right, because the show starts at 9:30, and usually after 11, 11:30, like, oh, yeah, and Hinchcliffe was supposed to be on after, I only want to see Ian Edwards, because he's another one of my favorite, I worship Ian Edwards, but, it was supposed to be Hinchcliffe after him, and then he wasn't there, and after, the show goes till fucking 2 a.m., there's, like, 6 more comics that come on, and I hadn't heard of a fucking one of them, didn't give a shit about them, so I'm like, let's go, and it was, like, perfect time, we just got our check, because usually you go in there, if you have a card, it takes them so fucking long. To get your, and like, when you want to get out of there, like, you're stuck. You can't leave until they come back with your fucking card. And like, you just want to get up and go. Like, I want to get the fuck out of here. And I can't leave. I'm being held fucking hostage by your fucking credit card reader or the goddamn service. Goddamn service. Sorry. Yeah, I should have went to that fucking yellow light. What do you want from me? I got to get my fucking oil changed pretty bad. Let's see. Yeah. But you know what I was thinking? So I kind of get myself out of this funk that I was in. It was a fucking bad one. You know, that thing would help me immensely with all my pressure and all my bullshit. If I got a, I am convinced, even though it would probably kill me, that if I got a motorcycle, it would help me a lot. Look, what's a motorcycle gonna do? I don't understand. I mean, maybe you can get around a little quicker. I could get around quicker, and it would be. It would be seeing the whole fucking city from a new perspective. Like, traffic would be half less as bad, which is a fucking huge improvement. It would be more exciting to be driving around because it's a motorcycle now and it's new and everything. And I gotta concentrate. I can't be sitting on my fucking phone the whole time. And like, you know, you can get around more. And there's cool. You can go ride up in the mountains and shit. It's different being on a fucking motorcycle. It'd be fucking awesome. Not to mention, you know, you can get fucking chicks like a dig a fucking motorcycle. But I have really convinced myself that, like, I need one. Like, forget, like, I not want one. Like, I need one for, like, my fucking sanity. Like, I mean, not get rid of my... I'd like to get a bike and keep my car, too. But just, like, some cheapy kind of motorcycle. But the coolest would be if my fucking dad would give me his, which I said when I went back last month. He kind of hinted at it, but I don't think that's going to happen. But fucking go back there, get it from him, and then ride it across country. And, I just heard Dean Delray talking about it on his podcast. He's like, dude, nothing better than getting a bike and riding across country. Like, you should buy... Because he has all these motorcycle sponsors. And he tells you should get one from, like, up north California. Ride it down, dude. Just ride it. I'm like, that's a fucking good idea. That'd be great. But, yeah, I think that would... It would be refreshing. Put it that way. It would take a fucking load off me and make me excited about living here again. Because I'm really fucking... I fucking had it with everything, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it down. But, I don't know how. A handful stopped talking to me for a while. And then she came back. And she's like, what's your problem? And I was like, I'm a mess right now. And I'm fucking depressed. And it's just like, it's hard out here. And I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm just getting old. And I've achieved nothing. And I'm still broke. And I fucking just feel like a loser and a fucking piece of shit. It's like fucking, I'm starting to feel like fucking Kurt in Apocalypse Now. I'm up river with these natives. Or I'm more like Willard, I guess. I'm getting lost in my mission. Now I'm just in a deep jungle, and there's fucking crazy natives, which, you know, compared to the homeless people, I guess. Yeah, it's really becoming an Apocalypse Now is the journey for the Luke out here in fucking L.A. I'm fucking cracking up. But, the handful could be a real fucking sweetheart. She sent me this whole email. She's like, look, and she, like, broke all this shit down. She's like, look, don't worry. Like, you're doing fine, and blah, 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 whatever. I guess it got me out of, until I go into my next fucking horrendous, uncontrollable depression. But she's like a sweetheart. And then she was like, she sends me this picture, and she's like, should I buy this dress? And man, is this motherfucker, you know, I'll put it on my Flickr. She looks fucking, she's so fucking sexy, man. So like, I don't know what happened, but like, and this has happened before. This is another, I'm a fucking maniac. But, like, I just, like, started missing her really bad, and I was like, fuck, like, I'm fucking missing it. And I'm, like, practically begging her. I'm like, just fucking come hang out. Like, hang out. Let's just hang out this whole weekend and fucking party and be fun and shit. And, like, her big thing is she won't, because I won't, like, commit to her. And then I said, every once in a great while, I'll get one of the slabs, too. I maybe get one time a year where I'm, like, for, like, a week or two, I'm like, I can date the slab. Why don't I just date her? She's still a sweetheart. You know, she's a fucking dope. She drives me crazy. Her social media version of her makes me want to puke and constantly reinforces what a stupid, boring person she is. But I was just like convinced, like I should fucking date the handful. So like, I hadn't seen her in like a week or two. She's kind of stopped talking again because we get back like once a year. We'll start hanging out again, and then it'll get into the same thing. She'll be like, "Well, you got to commit and be my boyfriend. I don't want to date you anymore." And I'm like, "No, I'm not." And then she's like, "Okay." So after we fuck and screw around for a week, then she leaves again. Allegedly never to be heard of again until next year when we go through it again. So she looks so fucking hot in this picture, and I was like, I had to like get my hands on this woman, and like, I don't know, she came over, and it took me like days to get her, and she finally comes and hangs out with all of us the one night, and like, I don't know, I was so fucking into her. I'm like, I should just fucking date this, you know, what are you doing, this chick's fucking hot, let's fucking date her or whatever. And We made great passionate love, and I just said all this kind of dumb shit. I'm like, yeah, man, well, like, I'll try. Like, we could be a legit boyfriend girlfriend. Because it's been a long time. Well, how many fucking years has it been? I wouldn't mind doing, but I keep forgetting. There's reasons why I haven't with her or the slob or the myriad of other girls. Like I say, like, I met that chick a couple weeks ago, that Asian broad, and I hit it off so good with her, and I would have had a chance to like legit date her, but like, I don't know, it's a handful, she's too pushy, she wants like kids and settle down and all this kind of shit, like immediately, and it just didn't, just like I had that momentary lapse of muscular coordination when I blasted it in her a few episodes ago, and I thought she might have got knocked up, and I was like, what the fuck am I, did it with her again, with like relationship thing, I'm like, all right, really try, like we'll like legit date and all this shit. And, like, I was all into her and shit, and I'm like, this is fucking great, man. Maybe this is it. Maybe I'm finally over the hurdle of, like, legitimately dating this girl. And the minute I woke up the next day, I was like, what the fuck did I do? Like, it fucking was weighing on me so heavy the next day. I'm like, what did you do? Why did you tell her that? Like, in the moment, I genuinely thought it. And then when I came to my druthers, And came on her big tits. God, she's fucking hot. But I'm just like, I know, I don't want nothing. And she's like texting me all this like girlfriendy text the next day. And like every time a text would come in, I would just like wince. Like I'd eaten a poison grape. I was just like, stop. No, I don't want to even talk to you. And just like the thought of being with her just like repulsed me. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? How fucking crazy am I? What is my problem? Why is it so hard to just have, like, a girlfriend? Or, like, no chick's gonna be perfect. I don't know. It's just such a goddamn crazy, crazy train. I mean, someone should write a song about that, you know? I'm going off the rails on this crazy train, you know? I mean, it's fucking crazy. Life's crazy. That's how it goes, you know? There's millions of fucking people on this earth. You know, they all don't like each other. And, you know, is it too late? I mean, I don't know. I should put the lyrics down and get a fucking guitarist named Randy Rhoads. All right, we got it, Luke. But Yeah, and that said, that feels terrible. I'm like, look what you did to this. Now this fuck, she thinks you're going to date her. Now it's inevitably not going to happen. It's been, what, today's Thursday, and I haven't really, that was Tuesday night when I saw her. And I've, like, barely talked to her since. And, like, I don't know. It's just, it's so fucked up. I'm a fucking mess. I didn't listen to the show to see what a fucking mess I am. I don't know. I guess it's probably like this for other people, too. I'm sure I'm not the only fucking one out there, but, like, sometimes I catch myself and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Like, these are real people, you fucking, you know, she's not a goddamn Nexus 6 model from fucking, don't fuck it up. What's the planet from fucking Blade Runner? Neptune? I forget where they're actually, the off-world colonies are. And I don't know if they say, maybe I'm still a bona fide Blade Runner fan. I don't know if they tell you. Whatever. But yeah, that went on. That's a whole saga. But I did get to bang her, and it was great. It was fucking great sex. Oh my god, that was oh my god, she looks like a fucking porn star. Those fucking tits of hers. She's fucking so pretty. She's so good and whatever. Shut the fuck up, Luke. We got it. I didn't have a hell of a lot go on. I think we're nearing the end. I know this wasn't the most exciting episode, but I was into it this time. The last one I wasn't. I pushed myself to do it. Those ones are less fun, and those are the ones at the end I hear it. I hate myself because in my head I'm doing a terrible job because I'm not enjoying it. It almost feels like work, and then I don't feel like I'm as funny or sharp or anything. And if I'm not enjoying it while I'm doing it, it turns into this sucks and I hate this episode. So at least this one wasn't like that. You don't have to hear that whole spiel. Sorry. Aren't I a peach? What a ray of sunshine. I've been saving this one for an episode like this. I stumbled on this article on crack.com about the old Batman 66 series with Adam West and Burt Ward. And like, I guess this was one of the most dangerous fucking television series in the history of television. Like the amount of like injuries and craziness that went on, like it was so fucking low budget and like unorganized and just a fucking mess. And like Burt Ward, like, I guess the first season they said he got sent to the emergency room like once a week. I think one time he got sent there twice in a day or some crazy shit. And he's like one of the early examples. You can like I wish I'd done it on the day because the day I stumbled on this a couple months ago. And I've read tons of shit, and there was even more stories that were just in the crack article that were just fucking amazing. But one of the big ones that he tells was like, it might have been the pilot episode. It was one of his first days on set. Like he's thrilled to get this job. Oh yeah, and it talks about how they were being real. He was all excited because I guess he read Batman growing up, and he was psyched that he got the job. But they were being weird about his costume. And he gets into the fucking wardrobe trailer and sees this gay ass awful Robin costume. He's like, and he almost quits. I can't do this. I can't fucking put this on. But he's like, I need a job. So they put him in the Batmobile. I don't know if this was the first shot ever. I don't know. It was early on in the series, so he didn't know what he was dealing with. He gets in the car and he's talking to who he thinks is Adam West. And he looks over and it's not him. It's somebody else in a Batman costume. And he's like, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm like Billy. And he's like, what are you doing here? He goes, oh, I'm Adam's stunt double. And he goes, oh. He goes, well, where's my stunt double? And he goes, oh, he's over there drinking coffee. So he looks over, and he sees another guy in a Robin costume who's, like, fat. And he's sitting just bullshitting with Adam West. And he's like, well, what's he doing over there? He goes, oh, they're not going to use him because he doesn't look anything like you. He goes, they hired a fucking stunt double that looks anything like me, and they can't use him. And they're like, no. So, no, he pulls over the first AD. And he goes, what the fuck's going on here? He's like, yeah, your double showed up and he didn't look anything like you. And he's like, didn't you guys cast him? No one noticed until now. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. You'll be okay. So they're doing this crazy ass, I guess that Batmobile from the 60s show was just like a very unwieldy piece of machinery. It was this crazy custom car. And I guess Adam West said like he was a fucking race car driver. Like an amateur racer, drove all kinds of like fucking indie cars and shit, and he was like a professional driver, and he said that he still like driving that car. It had so much fucking power, and it was the chassis was so wide and built so weird. It was really hard to control it, and it would just go all over the fucking place. He's like, I'm a fucking professional driver, and I could barely handle that car. It was really bad. So they go to do this thing where they take a really tight hairpin turn on some fucking road in one of the canyons, and so Burt Ward's like shitting his pants. He's like, oh my god, what the fuck? And the guy's like, yeah, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So The first take, they go around this fucking corner, and his driver's side door comes unlatched, and it hits like a fucking light, and it knocks the camera guy over, knocks the fucking camera over, and he almost goes flying out of the car at like fucking 50 miles an hour or something, and the only thing stopping him from coming out was he grabbed the gear shift thing by his pinky, and he held on so hard that he like ripped his pinky out of the socket. So like, holy shit, so they fucking cut and they reset everything. Everyone okay? And he's like, yeah, man, I really fucked up my hand. And he took off his glove and his hand was swollen like two times the fucking size. And like his pinky was all out of the joint. He's like, whoa, I fucked up my hand. He's like, I'm in a lot of pain, man. Can I? And he's like, he's trying to be as polite as possible and not freak out, because like it's like his first days on the thing, and he doesn't want to get fired and shit or get replaced. So he's like, yeah, it's really hurting. They're like, okay, let us just finish this shot. And he said he was in like an agony with a broken hand. And they said, let us finish the shot. We'll send you to the hospital. He said, 4 hours later, they finally cut and let him go. Shit like this happened all the time. I guess there was like some fucking, I think the very first fucking day they walked on the set, the very first shot they ever did was something with the Riddler. And there was like this Riddler mobile on a beach or something like that. And they're walking onto the thing, and this fucking car just explodes. The entire Riddler's car just blows up. Because, like, they had some, like, gas tank gag. Like, the car was supposed to fucking blow up. It, like, blew up in everybody's fucking face in the middle of the set. I'm like, what the fuck was that? They're like, oh, yeah, we had a problem. And I guess there's this famous episode where they hung him over, like, actual hungry lions. Like, he's supposed to be hanging off a cliff on a rope over like, some villain's fucking, you know, like, let's see if you can get away from these lions, boy wonder. But they're, like, real lions, like, snapping at him and, like, the rope was way too long, and his feet were almost like in their face and shit, and he almost got fucking eaten. There was one more really good one. Oh, yeah, this is great. So when he used to ride in that bat cycle, there was like the Robin sidecar. I fucking love this. And so in the show, he'd be like, go get him, Robin, and he would detach that Robin sidecar, and the sidecar would go like taking off, you know, after like if the Riddler went running, or they like, let's split up, and he would detach that car. Well, that thing would really detach while they were going, and there was no steering for it. He goes, the thing would just come off at like 30 miles an hour, and I'd have no steering. I was just stuck in it until wherever it landed, wherever I smashed into. And he said, like, sometimes they would be driving, it would come unattached by itself. It's just an out of control fucking 30 mile an hour like pod with two fucking wheels on it. It was great. It was a great article. I seriously was reading about it for like 45 minutes. There was so many fucking nutty stories. Fuck, I wish I had more of them. I want to write them. It's too hard to write them all down, I guess. But yeah, Batman 66. If you're interested, go look it up. This is pretty good shit. But now I gotta go to the gym. I'm almost there. I'm in Encino. I didn't work out last week. I'm fucking sore as ball. Whatever. I'm the fucking ones are my stupid. Now I'm just stalling for time because I need to hit an hour. Right? Where are we at here? Oh, I just made it. Look at that. Look at us. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't have a terribly eventful week. I think I got some shit cooking this weekend. So maybe next episode will be entertaining. I don't know. I feel so fucking self-indulgent talking like this. Like I'm like my life isn't interesting. Good shit. I don't know. I guess people listen to it. It is on some level. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. Oh, yeah. I went to fucking stand-up tonight, too. I wrote 7 new minutes of shit. I seriously wrote like 4 pages filled from top to bottom of just like probably awful jokes, but I'm taking my best ones. I think I'm gonna try them out tonight if I can get everything fucking. It's 7:30 already. Yeah, I'll try them and I don't know. These things are hard to end. I don't know how to do it. Waste your blood.
sucker in here.